Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
We're going to continue talking about the Netherlands in today's program. You know why we're going to continue talking about the Netherlands in today's program? Because we began to talk about the Netherlands in our program last time, and we haven't finished talking about the Netherlands. There's so much more to talk about, so that's why we're going to continue talking about the Netherlands today. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
Indeed. And today we're going to talk about specifically the city of Amsterdam, which is where most people will go if they go to Holland. It's got a lot of tourist attractions there. Without looking at the article off the top of my head, I can think about the canals there, the Anne Frank Museum, and all those people riding bicycles around, and great coffee shops to hang out at, and lots of mellow Dutch people to sit and chat away with, and does sound like a wonderful experience to head to Amsterdam. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about mainly in today's show.
We're also going to focus a little bit on the artists that have come from the Netherlands. There's some very famous painters who are Dutch, so that'll be fun. And then we're going to wrap up by talking about, a little village and kind of what some of the cute houses look like there. They've got beautiful houses. If you haven't seen, like, typical Dutch houses, you need to get online and take a look. Really cute. Right now, though, we're going to read through our article first.
Among the Dutch people's most ingenious works is its capital city, Amsterdam. The city's name derives from the name Amsterdam, as it was originally a fishing village by a dam in the Amstel River. By the Dutch Golden Age, it had become a center of finance and trade, especially the trade of diamonds. As the city's population increased, many major canals were constructed. Soon enough, Amsterdam was interspersed with a series of canals for defense, transportation, and water management. Apart from its charming canals, Amsterdam also has many world-class museums full of treasures. Among them are the Rijksmuseum and the Van Gogh Museum. The former houses Dutch art and historical artifacts dating back to the Middle Ages, including paintings by Rembrandt and Vermeer. The latter museum is dedicated to the works of Impressionist Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh and his contemporaries from the late 1800s. If you want to see small towns in the Netherlands, you could always pay a visit to the village of Giethoorn. People there have taken canal making to another level. The old part of the village, settled in 1230, has no roads, but a series of canals in their place. They're lined by picturesque thatched roof homes and trees, making Giethoorn look like a real-life painting. Far from letting the marshy land of the Netherlands become an obstacle to success, the Dutch have proved their ingenuity by taming the landscape. Their work in building canals, windmills, and dams set the stage for them to become expert sailors and turned the Netherlands into one of the world's most interesting countries to visit. Okay, everybody, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. Again, we're talking about the wonderful land of water in the Netherlands. And remember, it's a country in northeastern Europe there, next to Belgium, next to Germany, and next to the North Sea. So, yeah, if you're in France or Germany or Denmark, for that matter, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Head on down to the Netherlands. And today, we're going to be talking about the city of Amsterdam. So, among the Dutch people's most ingenious works is its capital city, Amsterdam. Something ingenious when it takes a lot of intelligence and experience to make. And so it's an ingenious work. It's a masterpiece of architecture, of urban planning, or whatever. And that, of course, is the capital city of Amsterdam.
It says here the city's name derives from the name Amstelerdama, which is a really old, old name. If something is derived from something else, that's where it came from. So they kind of took that old name and from that turned it into Amsterdam. And it was originally a fishing village by a dam in the Amstel River. So it kind of makes sense. They kind of put those words together. There's the dam and the Amstel River, and that's where they came up with that Amstelerdama, which is now Amsterdam. So there's a lot of fishing done there, a lot of fish to be eaten as well, which is very healthy, which is good, right? So
yeah. That
is where the name comes from. Now, by the Dutch Golden Age, this is by the time we got to that period of time, it had become a center of finance and trade, especially the trade of diamonds, which are very valuable. Finance is how countries actually work with their economy. It's also pronounced finance. I've heard a lot of people say finance, so be ready for that. Finance is probably the more popular pronunciation of the two, but it's how people, you know, trade. Sometimes they trade with things like two chickens for one cow or something like that. But here we're talking about money, and trade is right there. And diamonds, probably most of our listeners have heard of the company De Beers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love their commercials because they're very elegant and sexy. And it always looks like, you know, someone has $1 billion when you watch their commercials. De Beers actually is a diamond company. And if anytime you see D-E in front of a name, you're pretty sure you can be confident that that name is Dutch.
Yeah, you could be pretty confident that that name is Dutch. And, of course, it's a center for diamonds, which, of course, girls like to receive as gifts from men. But I should say that diamonds are artificially expensive. The De Beers company and other companies jack up the prices there. But nobody seems to mind because, well, basically the guys have no choice but to spend that money on the girls.
And they're beautiful.
If they don't, well, the girls will be hysterical and stuff like that. You know how it goes. But in any case, as the city's population increased, many major canals were constructed. So again, we're talking about Amsterdam in the Dutch Golden Age. It was a financial center and they traded diamonds. So lots of people went there to make money. So the population increased. And so many major canals were constructed. I guess they thought that canals were the best way to get around town. Mm. These were major canals, not just little small ones, but big ones with lots of traffic. Major, of course, is the opposite of minor. You can figure that out. And they were constructed. You could also say they were built so boats could get around and diamond merchants could move their produce across town to sell to buyers and ship them off to other countries. The canals were very useful.
Well, soon enough, Amsterdam was interspersed with a series of these canals for defense, transportation, and water management. So if something's interspersed with something, it is found throughout. Look at that inter. Inter means kind of like between, right? So if something is interspersed with something, it's kind of scattered around there, or it's between other things. So interspersed with a series of canals, lots of different canals that connected together. When you talk about defense or defense, I would say defense here, you're talking about how to protect something. Here we're talking about protecting a country. But if you're playing sports, you might be playing football. Then you have what we call the defense, and that's pronounced differently. And one side is defending their team. They don't want to let the other side score points. The other side is offense. Is the opposite. So here, defense just means protecting the country. Transportation, how we get around, how we move people, how we move product, how we move lots of things, and water management, how to take care of the water that you have. So they had a lot of these canals, and they were vital or essential for their living.
Yeah, water management, where you put the water, and I would imagine that has a lot to do with flooding and stuff like that. So the canals probably helped the city avoid big floods, and that's why they built the canals. Apart from its charming canals, Amsterdam also has many world-class museums full of treasures. Mm-hmm. And we did mention that before. Apart from the charming canals, or in addition to the charming canals, Amsterdam also has a lot of museums. They are world-class museums. Lots of people want to go there and check them out, and they are full of treasures. Let's talk about what some of these museums are. Among them are the Rijksmuseum and the Van Gogh Museum. Okay, Rijksmuseum, we'll talk about that in just a second here. But we've also got the Van Gogh Museum, and most Americans will say Van Gogh, although I've heard this pronounced differently by different people. Van Gogh or something like that, I guess.
Well,
some people say it that way.
That's the Dutch pronunciation, Van Gogh.
Okay.
Van Gogh is his name. But if you're talking to a native English speaker, you'll always hear Van Gogh. Because a lot of Americans, you know, they just don't know other languages. So it's Van Gogh if you're talking in English, or Van Gogh. If you go over there, I would say Van Gogh.
They'll know what you mean, though,
Dutch.
If you say the Van Gogh Museum.
Totally.
The Dutch are pretty laid back. They don't care. They're not uptight like the French or the Germans are. But in any case, the former, the first one that we mentioned, the former, the Rijksmuseum, houses Dutch art and historical artifacts dating back to the Middle Ages, including paintings by Rembrandt and Vermeer. Okay, so it houses Dutch art. Hear the word house with a z sound at the end there. That's a verb. It just means something is inside of it. So the former houses Dutch art. It has Dutch art inside. And also it has historical artifacts. Artifacts are basically anything that was made by people to do something, okay? You could have like dishes and plates and furniture.
Weapons.
Weapons. Those are all different kinds of artifacts. You can check them out. They'll be on display at the Rijksmuseum, and then they'll also have some art from the Middle Ages, which is the period of knights and lords and stuff like that. And these include paintings by Rembrandt and Vermeer. I can't really name any examples of them right now.
I can.
Rembrandt? He did a self-portrait or something.
Van Gogh, right? Starry, Starry Night.
Well, that's Van Gogh, but what about Rembrandt?
Rembrandt, he doesn't really have any named paintings. He's all over the place, though.
You'll know him if you see him.
Yeah, he's the most famous Dutch painter. Vermeer painted that really famous painting called The Girl with the Pearl Earring, and it was turned into a movie.
Okay.
It was a romance. It was with Scarlett Johansson and a very handsome man who's a British fellow named Colin Firth. So that was a fun movie. So, yeah, you can say the Dutch have given the world some of its best painters.
Okay, let's take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher. But, hey, we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要继续看第九单元，要谈荷兰这个国家，一个与水共生的国家。前面呢已经提过，荷兰它的水运发达，它虽然是一个低地国，它却能够做到排水良好，国家甚至于靠水运而有重大繁荣的发展。那我们现在就要继续来看荷兰，它令人赞叹的另外一个要点是它的首都阿姆斯特丹。好，我们来看这一个地方的开头 ，Among the Dutch people's most ingenious works is， 好，这个句子啊，其实它是一个倒装句型哦，因为它的 be 动词就是这个 is， 然后后面的 is capital city Amsterdam 这个。Its capital city 基本上是原来的主词，那主词为什么要摆后面呢？因为它把 be 动词后面的这一个 among blah 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 整个搬到了前面，所以说当你把 be 动词后面所谓的补语摆到句首的话，我们就会写成倒装句了。 OK， 说起来这些鬼斧神工的成果之一就是 阿姆斯特丹。那我们要谈这个首都啊，它本来只是一个小渔村，但是后来就成了金融贸易中心。在阿姆斯特丹这边的人口就越来越多，而且它有很多主要的运河也都完成了，所以可以看到它有一成串用来防御啦，或者是交通运输啦，跟水务管理的这一些运河。好，那我们来看看，这边就要提到了，除了运河之外，那这个首都有没有别的值得大家注意或观赏的地方呢？这个除了又用到这个片语 apart from， 除了这个之外，当然这里就等于 in addition to。 除了这些我们谈到运河咯，那是不是还有别的？当然有，他说到这里有世界级的博物馆，充满了各种艺术珍品。那接下来的这一句又看到了 among them are among blah blah blah， 然后呢动词，然后主词，所以这其实是一样的倒装句。 be 动词 are 后面的补语就是 among them 已经搬到前面的句首，它的真正主词是在 be 动词 are 的后面，也就是提到说所谓的世界级博物馆有哪些，这边就举了两个很有名的。那这两个博物馆它分作前面跟后面，所以它先介绍前面这个阿姆斯特丹国家博物馆，它用到的这个片语 the former。 我们知道 the former 指前者，当你叙述事情的过程里你谈到的两个东西，前面的后面的，用了 the former 当然就会看到 the latter， 所以往下读这两个其实是要放在一起看的。而他就先从前者谈起，这个阿姆斯特丹国家博物馆里面他到底收藏了什么。哇，他可是有可以追溯到中世纪的历史手工制品，还有这些名人的画作。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, we will continue with our lesson. And where we left off, we were talking about some of the world-class museums that you can visit in Amsterdam. We talked about the Rijksmuseum and the Van Gogh Museum. The Rijksmuseum has artifacts and paintings by Rembrandt and Vermeer. And the Van Gogh Museum, or the latter museum, the second one that we mentioned, is dedicated to the works of Impressionist Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh, or Gogh, and his contemporaries from the late 1800s. Now, if you mention two things, you can say the former and the latter. So the former thing we mentioned, the first one, was the Rijksmuseum, and the latter one that we mentioned, or the second one that we mentioned, was the Van Gogh Museum. And, of course, it's dedicated to the works of the Dutch painter Vincent van Gogh, who was an Impressionist. If something is dedicated to someone, that means the place has been built in that person's honor. And, of course, it's going to feature the works of that particular artist, but there'll be some other stuff in there as well. Vincent van Gogh was an Impressionist, which was an art movement in Europe. Gee, when was that? During the 1800s, I guess Manet and Monet and people like that were all Impressionists. And I think in Chinese it's Yin Xiang Pai, which is Impressionism. And a person who paints that way is called an Impressionist.
Those are lovely paintings. I love Impressionism.
Me too. That's
the style of the painting. There were some beautiful things done in the 1800s. Go ahead and look that up. You can see some really famous paintings by different artists. But right now we're talking about Dutch artists. And Vincent van Gogh was towards the end of Impressionism. He was starting to change the style a little bit. So it became, he used thicker strokes, more paint. But he's extremely famous. house, so you'll want to check him out. Let's move down to the next paragraph. Oh, I wanted to say, if you talk about someone's contemporaries, you're talking about somebody's friends that are really relatively around the same age. So they probably were, you know, 5 years apart, his contemporaries. His parents would not be his contemporaries. His kids would not be his contemporaries. People who are about your age are your contemporaries. Mm. So let's move on. If you want to see small towns in the Netherlands, you could always pay a visit to the village of, and how are we saying this, Tom?
Giethoorn.
Giethoorn.
That's what I looked up on the internet. There were a couple of different sites that gave different pronunciations, but I'm going to go with that, Giethoorn.
Giethoorn.
And it's a village there, and people there have taken canal making to another level. Mm. That's a phrase here, to take something to a higher level or to take something to another level, which means they've improved on the work of people in the past. And they've done something very different with it, or something that nobody else has done before. The old part of the village settled way back in 1230 has no roads. My goodness, how do you get around? But instead, it has a series of canals in their place. But that means this is there in the place of something else. In its place, you could take someone's place, for example. If you can't participate in a sports game because of injury, then somebody else will take your place.
Or they could say that player is in John's place. So, yeah, in its place. For example, maybe I want to redecorate my apartment and I decide to get rid of one of my big plants. And in its place, I put a beautiful vase. So it's something that you exchange for something else. They are lined by picturesque thatch roof homes and trees and making Giethoorn look like a real-life painting. There's nothing better than when you're traveling abroad to try to go see a small village. Gives you an idea of what life is like, you know, outside the big city. So if something's lined by something else, there's a lot of that thing lined up. Usually we say that street is lined with trees. I happen to live close to Duanhua, and I go walking over there by Heping, and I go walking there, and in the middle of Duanhua is just a tree-lined middle part of the whole big street. So it's beautiful. If something's picturesque, it looks like a picture. It looks like a photo, or it looks like a painting. It's so darn beautiful. A thatched roof. Wow, those are really old-fashioned. Thatched roof, they're made of hay or straw that is laid on top of the roof, the high point of the home or the building. And they're very dangerous because if they catch fire, wow, they go up really fast. But that's how they used to build roofs long ago. They've changed for the most part, but if you go to an old village, you'll probably see some old, old homes.
They're probably not practical nowadays, but they probably still keep them to attract tourists. People love to go to those places, spend money, and take pictures. So it's quite picturesque there, quite scenic, and it looks like a real-life painting. So if you go there and you look at it, you will say, wow, pinch me to make sure this is real. This looks like a painting. It looks like a scene out of a fairy tale and not something out of real life. Okay, so let's move on now here. We're going to kind of wrap things up here. It says, far from letting the marshy land of the Netherlands become an obstacle to success, the Dutch have proved their ingenuity by taming the landscape. So far from letting the marshy land become an obstacle. Far from means not at all. They did not at all let the marshy land become an obstacle to success. Instead, they proved their ingenuity by taming that landscape. So we're talking about marshy land. A marsh is kind of like a swamp. It's like wet, but it's got a lot of plants there. And oftentimes, it's kind of useless land to humans. It's great for frogs and turtles.
And alligators.
And ducks and things like that. So it's marshy. It's like a marsh.
Like in Florida, there's a lot of marshland.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's a lot of marshy land in Taiwan. I'm not quite sure about that. But the Netherlands at one point was quite marshy, but they did not let that become an obstacle to their success. We've got the word obstacle here. That's just something that gets in your way.
Yep.
Sometimes on TV, we see these programs where people are running over an obstacle course. They have to climb up a wall or swing on a rope or something or jump on bouncy balls. Those are all obstacles. obstacles that are getting in your way、mm-hmm. and they're preventing your progress, so they did not let the marshy land become an obstacle to their success. Instead, they proved their ingenuity because they tamed that landscape.
Yeah, usually when we see this verb tame, to tame something or tame somebody, we're talking about pets. For example, it's very hard, although I was going to say a tiger. Tigers are not pets, people.、Mm. But it would be very hard to tame a lion or tame a tiger. They're wild beasts, so it's very hard to tame them. You could tame a horse, you know, some of the horses that are first...gotten, you know, from the wild, I guess. They have to work with them and train them in order for them to be tame. My hair is very curly, and I kind of have to tame it by putting on different hair products like mousse and things like this. Well, they're using their smarts, their cleverness, their ingenuity to tame the landscape. It's kind of harsh and rough to live there if you're in a marsh.Like area, or you have got a lot of swamp land. So they do things to help make that landscape or that area livable or habitable. That's how they're taming it.
And all these things, their work in building canals, windmills, and dams set the stage for them to become expert sailors and turn the Netherlands into one of the world's most interesting countries to visit.
Yeah.
To set the stage means to make something possible, to make something likely. If you're an expert, in this case, it's an adjective, an expert sailor. That means you're really good at that. You are an expert. And, of course, they've turned it into a great place to visit. So, hey, why aren't you making your reservations?Get down to your travel agent right away. That brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
好，那我们刚刚说到阿姆斯特丹在这个地方有世界级的博物馆，那其中有两个我们在这边特别介绍，而这两个谈到 the former， 那后者就是 the latter。The latter 指的也就是梵谷博物馆，而梵谷博物馆顾名思义，当然就知道这和印象派画家梵谷它有绝对的关系。好，那我们谈完这博物馆之后，还要告诉大家，到荷兰不是只有阿姆斯特丹，他说到你也可以造访他的一个小镇，不是大城市，而是小镇，这个地方叫做羊角村。那到这边来看什么呢？因为我们到这里可以看到这当地人啊，可是把开凿运河提升到更高的层次了。我们来看看，这里有两个重点，一个就是当你说造访一个地方，当然简单的动词就是 visit， 可是你把它变成一个片语，就是 pay a visit to。 好，造访这个羊角村，那他说啊， people there have taken canal making to another level， 这个Take something to a different level, to another level. 这个英文上直翻就是说你把它提高到另外一种层次。但意思其实可以讲说简直是发扬光大，让人家叹为观止了。那我们来看看这个村子特色在哪里，后面当然有详加介绍。不过谈到这个小村的这种风光啊，他说到呢，运河的两岸是什么样的风光， They are lined by， 注意到这个片语啊， line 当动词，那这边用被动，当你说到这个街道两侧是什么，或者是像这边运河两侧是什么，我们都可以用这样的片语。好，那最后还有一段就是要告诉大家，荷兰人呢没有让他的师弟阻碍他成功，所以他这边用 far from letting the marshy land blah blah blah， 这个 far from 本来是远离，但是意思就是说他不但没有怎么样，反而是怎样。 OK， 我们今天讲解就到这边结束，下次见。
That's all for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time and enjoy your trip to the Netherlands if you have time and money to go. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See ya.